Lamed Amud Aleph, top line on the Amud. And this is another one of those daven where you could spend forever. We won't, but you could. So we had a statement at the bottom of Chet Tes Amud Beis that there were two statements that Rav made regarding Safras, in which he a brace appeared to contradict him. Our first one was the question of how many errors you could have on a column, how many caseros you could have in a column. The second one is regarding where you end a Sefer Torah, or so it appears. There may be multiple ways to take this, but let's see it. And no flower is involved. It's relatively straightforward. The top line on Lamed Amud Aleph. Idoch de Omar Rav. The other statement that Rav made was, Hakosev Sefer Torah uba ligmor gomer. You write a Sefer Torah, you reach the end, we assume that means the end of the Sefer Torah, so gomer, you stop wherever you stop, that's it, finished. Vafilu ben tzadaf. It doesn't matter if you're in the middle of the Amud, you stop where you stop. That's the statement of Rav, and the brisa that seems to contradict him is the following. Meisve, we learned, Hakosev Sefer Torah, Bolo Ligmor, Lo Yigmor Ben Sa'adaf, Kederach Shagomer B'chumashim. You're not supposed to end at the middle of the daf the way you would end Chumashin. Chumashin, we assume it means, we assume right now, and it will mean for this purpose, the other Chumashim in the Torah. Yeah. But Chumashim we'll see has multiple meanings. Ela Mekatzer V'holech Ad Sof Hadaf. What you do is, you shorten the lines until you reach the end of the column. And if you take a look in the margin, they give you a nice picture in Rashi in case you didn't know what that looked like. The idea is that there's actually a shape, and I think it's important that you actually have a visible shape. And the reason I say that is because you want to make sure that it's clear to everybody that everything there is in the original text. So because you have a fixed shape, it's clear. This question comes up regarding suvos. In general, when you write a shtar, you're supposed to make sure that the shtar also, it doesn't have anything going outside the lines, so that it's obvious that it's all the original, no one could have added in and all that. So the question becomes, what if you have these beautiful calligraphied suvos where they're not a rectangle? They have all sorts of shapes that the ksav will take. So based on this, we seem to be okay. This isn't a shtar, but it seems that it's okay as long as it's a clear design so that you know that everything that's there is original and meant to be there. But the point for us is that Rav seems to have said that you could end even in mid daf, and the brisa says no. You have to end at the end of the daf. That's my challenge. When we use the word daf, we noted this yesterday, and we'll have support from what we'll see today. Daf means column. Daf does not mean the parchment, the entire urea, the entire sheet. Daf means the column. Yesterday I couldn't prove that, but in the Gemara today I'll be able to prove that. So the Gemara is going to give us no fewer than five answers to resolve Rav with this brisa. First of all, Kika Amar Rav b'chumashin. Rav was talking about chumashim, and when we say chumashin here, Rashi tells us that we think that means kasal kadaitoch b'shar chumashin she'ein asuyin kikdusha sefer Torah, aval asuyin hein begilyon kisefer Torah. This means a chumash, like when we use the term generically a chumash, we have a chumash in shul. It means the except that they wrote it on a cloth. But it means something that doesn't have kedusha sefer Torah. So you can do whatever you want. Rav says that you can end mid daf. We're not using that for kriyas Torah. It's not, so to speak, the official document. So the Gemara says, yeah, the promise doesn't work. Vas sefer Torah ka'ama. Rav's language was hakosef sefer Torah. He didn't say hakosef chumash. So the Gemara's second answer is b'chumashin shel sefer Torah. You're right. What we mean is each of the first four of the five chumashim that are in the sefer Torah. Rashi takes the trouble to record for you the last psukim of Bereish Shmos Vayigran Bamidbar, in case you didn't know what the chumash was. Why Rashi says that is actually an interesting question. It probably has to do with how they published Sifrei Torah and Chumashim in Rashi's day. In other words, would it be likely that someone would have a standalone today? We're profligate. We publish individual Chumashim. But in Rashi's day, it's very likely that anybody who was going to the trouble of writing out a manuscript was writing out all five. So therefore, the reader really may not be familiar with this breakdown and look at it this way. That could be. That could be why Rashi feels the need to do that. So that's our second answer. The problem is the Ini va'amar Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba Amar of Gidol Amar Rav. Note those names: Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba citing Rav Gidol citing Rav, because that's going to be important for us in a little bit. Leinei Chol Yisrael be'emtza Hadaf. We quote Rav as saying that Leinei Chol Yisrael, which is the end of the Torah entirely, not some earlier Chumash, can be be'emtza, could be in the middle of the Daf. So that knocks out our second answer. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll offer you a third answer. The Hahi Be'emtsa Shita Itmar. Rav meant mid-line, not mid-daf. I can finish the sentence middle in the middle of the line, but it does have to be at the end of the column. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan give me a fourth answer. Af Be'emtsa Shita. What Rav meant was even the middle of the line. Now here there's a machlokas between Rashi and Shita Kubetzis how to take this. Rashi says that when we say Rav meant even mid line, what he meant was mid-daf and midline. So in other words, the Braisa said it has to be the end of the daf, and Rav is saying no, middle of the daf or middle of the line, either one would be good. Well, then he's contradicting the Braisa, and the answer is inachanami, you're 100% right. The Rav Tana Upalik. Rav is a Tana, Rav can debate with the Braisa. That's why Rashi just puts it very succinctly, af b'emtza shita u'b'emtza hadaf. But the Shita Mekubetzis explains that this is actually a little bit of a problem, and we don't want that, because the whole point of the Gemara was to resolve Rav versus the Braisa. So the Shita Mekubetzis offers a different approach. He says, well, what it says here, even the middle of the line, what it means is middle of the line or the end of the line. In other words, I might have thought it had to be end of the line. It's even the middle of the line, but it has to be the end of the daf, like the Braisa. That's the way that the Shita Mekubetzis takes the Rabbanan's answer. And then finally, Rav Ashi Amar Be'emtsa Shita Davka. Rav Ashi says, no, it's not even the middle of the line. It's specifically the middle of the line, which if you take Rashi, that means that Rav is saying middle of the line, and not the middle of the daf, like the Braisa, right? Whereas if you take the Shita Mekubetzis' approach, that means that Rav says you must end your Sefer Torah in the middle of the line. You're not allowed to end it at the end of the line. Now, why would that be? So they suggest that's why Rashi disagrees with the Shita Mekubetzis, because it doesn't make sense to require that it be the middle of the line. However, the Mordechai gives you an explanation. The Mordechai says that the reason is because when you end middle of the line, it shows that the Torah is complete. I have nothing more to say. The opposite of what we do by Ishtar. By Ishtar, we davka go to the end of the line. We make Hakol Sharei V'Kayom in big letters in order to show there's nothing else, lest somebody add afterwards. But with the Sefer Torah, we say, everybody knows the ending is Leinei Chol Yisrael. So that we're not concerned about someone adding. So therefore, we want to show that we've completed it. You davka end in the middle of the line, the hilchasa, and the law is be'emtsa shita davka, that you do it at the end of the line, not at the middle of the daf, according to Rashi, and according to the Shita Mekubetzis, we mean not at the end of the line, only in the middle of the line. We end midline. So again, our problem is Rav versus the Braisa. Rav seeming to say you can end mid-daf, where the Braisa says you can't. After we throw out our first two answers, our answer is either that Rav meant mid-line, not mid-daf. That was our first successful approach. The Rabbanan said Rav meant even the middle of the line, but you could do the end of the line. You could do the end of the end of the daf, depending on whether you take Rashi or the Shita Mekubetzis. Or you have Rav Ashi's view that Rav meant only the middle of the line. Only the middle of the line, not end of the line, only middle of the line, not the end of the daf, depending on Rashi versus the Shita Mekubetzis. The upshot right now seems to be that Rav was saying, be'emtsa shita, you end mid-line. That was his statement. So because we quoted Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba citing Rav Gidl, citing Rav, therefore we're going to bring two more statements from Rabbi Yeshua citing Rav Gidl, citing Rav. Also regarding Sefer Torah. Amar Yeshua bar Abba, Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav. Shmona psukim shebetorah, yachid kare osan bebeis haknesses. The eight psukim in the Torah, by which he means the last eight psukim in the Torah, must be read by a yachid in shul. Rashi explains, Adam echad koran vein mafsik bein atayim. You have only one aliyah. You can't break up the end of Vezos HaBracha. It has to be all read by one person. Kedei lamor achir v'lik vein mafsik bein atayim. Kedei lamor achir v'likros. You don't halt it in order to allow somebody else to come up to the Torah. Someone comes up and says, wait, I missed my aliyah when you were giving out the aliyahs. He doesn't get chasen Torah. That doesn't work. The whole thing is read by one person. Yahad Karyosim Beis HaKnesses. Kimban, whom is this like? Delok Rabbi Shimon. We'd like to suggest, perhaps, that this is against Rabbi Shimon in the following discussion about those last eight psukim. Remember, the last eight psukim record the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. So he says, Disanya, the Braisa says, Vayamas Shama Moshe Eved Hashem, Efshar Moshe Chai, or Mace, depending on your edition, Vikasa Vayamas Sham Moshe, How could Moshe write and Moshe died? The Ella Ad Khan Kasav Moshe. Rather, Moshe wrote up to here. Mikan ve'elach Kasav Yeshua bin Nun. Yeshua wrote the rest. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Azay shteit Rabbi Yehuda. Va'ami la Rabbi Nechemya. Alternatively, Rabbi Nechemya said that. That Moshe didn't write the last eight psukim. And the idea would be that we have to then mark those as being unique by having only one person read those psukim. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon. To which Rabbi Shimon says, Efshir sefer Torah chaser os achas. Can it be the Torah is lacking a letter? Moshe tells them, take this Sefer Torah, suggesting that it is already a complete Sefer Torah. How could Moshe refer to it as a Sefer Torah if it's incomplete? Ela ad kana kadosh baruch hu omer, Moshe kosev omer, or it should read omer v'kosev. The answer is that until you hit these psukim, Hashem dictates, and Moshe repeats what Hashem says, and then writes it down. Rashi suggests the reason to do that is Kadesh Shelo Yidav Biksav, so that he not make a mistake as he's writing. He says it aloud as well, and Tosfos notes that's the minhag of Sofrim. That's what Sofrim actually do. Sofrim recite it out loud, and then write. Mikan ve'elech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Moshe Kosev Bedema. From then on, Hashem spoke, and Moshe wrote with tears, which you could take as a beautiful statement about what Moshe is writing. He's writing his own death, and he's writing with tears, but Rashi takes it more practically. Rashi has the point that Moshe is not repeating it out loud anymore. He said everything aloud until he got to those eight psukim, and then he didn't say it out loud. As indeed the pasuk will say later on in Tanakh, also dealing with a case of someone writing something awful. Vayomer lahem baruch benaria Yirmiyah's sofer. He said, Mipiv yikra Elias kol advarim ha'ela. Yirmiyah told me all of these things. Vani kosev ala sefer bidyo, and I recorded on the scroll bidyo with ink. So Rashi adds. On this, Shaloh haya Omer Achrav. He didn't recite it after Yirmiyah. Mishum dekinos havu, because this was Yirmiyah's prediction of the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash. He couldn't say it out loud. So the Gemara says lema deloka Rabbi Shimon. So does our statement that the eight psukim are unique? Is that against Rabbi Shimon? Is that within the view that Yeshua wrote them, but not within the view of Rabbi Shimon? To which his answer is, of course not. Afilutem Rabbi Shimon. However, ishtini. The answer is it could well be within Rabbi Shimon as well, since it was changed. In that it was written with tears. The Ishtani Mishar Sefer Torah. It's different from other Sefer Torah. He doesn't mean that. He means the rest of the Sefer Torah, and therefore you read it differently. The Chasam Sofer uses this idea about writing it with tears to resolve a problem. And it's a problem in Hechva Shabbos. We're taught that Moshe died on what day of the week? Shabbos, right? We say Tzichas Chatzedek and all that. Tosfos actually discusses that here, whether it really was Shabbos or not. But the Chasam Sofer says that Moshe died on Shabbos. How did he write this? Yeah. And we're told, the Medrash says Moshe wrote 13 Sifrei Torah, one for each Shevet, and one that would be in the Aron. How does he do that if it's Shabbos? So he says Moshe wrote the last bit, Bedema. He wrote it with tears. So tears are not Ksav Sheroi L'Hiskayim. It's not a text that will endure. And therefore he's able to record that, and then afterwards someone has to go over it and actually turn it into Dio. Someone had to go back and do it. In other words, he says, it's not that Moshe wrote it in tears, but Moshe wrote it with his tears. He didn't write it with ink. Correct. Correct. He dies on Shabbos. And he wrote it that last day. No, but he wrote it that last day. So that's the whole point of the Medrash, is that Moshe writes these 13 Sifrei Torah on the day of his death. He only writes the ending on the day of his death, evidently. Tosfos is bothered because we always say Moshe died on Shabbos, but he begins by saying, look, we say Tikkun HaTzedek on Shabbos and Mincha for this. And then he says, yeah, but the problem is I have a whole bunch of sources that say Moshe died on an Erev Shabbos. So Tosfos leaves that. The Zohar has a whole other solution for how Moshe wrote the last day Psukim. Not the answer of the Dio at all. He says Moshe actually was Nifter, and Hashem brought him back, Tchiyas HaMesim, to write the last eight psukim. And the Malbim quotes that on the pasuk, Taras Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nafesh. The reason why Taras Hashem Tamima is because Meshivas Nafesh, because Hashem restored his neshama, therefore he could write the whole Sefer Torah. No, the Zohar doesn't address the Shabbos question. That's the Chasam Sofer's Shabbos. Well, that's what he mentioned right here. That was the statement. That's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya. That was Yeshua, yeah. That's what we just read. You haven't had that. The rule in Daf is you have to let a week go by before you're allowed to forget what we learned. That's the rule in Daf.
My Rashi said Yishtani was the tear. Maybe the Yishtani means that he was an Aymer.
Right, so that's what Rashi's saying. When Rashi says, yeah, the ishti d'nichta b'dema doesn't mean ishtini in that sense. It's ishtini in the sense that he's not omer. Correct. That's what Rashi is saying. Yeah, that's what Rashi's saying. He said it earlier on Kamush Nemar Lahalim Piviyekrush Lohaya Omer Acharav. On Mikavech Moshe Kosev B'dema Velohaya Omer Acharav. That's what Rashi's point is. When he says here ishtini b'dema, that's what he's referring to. Dinecha b'dema without repeating it aloud. That's what Rashi's talking about. Rashi is consistent. Okay, so that's our second piece from Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba citing Rav Gidol citing Rav. Then we get our third piece from Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba. V'am Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba, Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav. Halokeach Sefer Torah min Ashuk, kechotev mitzvah min Ashuk. We know there is a mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah, right? We have mitzvah 612 and 613 in the Torah. One of them is write a Sefer Torah personally, and the other one is gather together with everybody to hear the Sefer Torah read aloud by the Melech for the mitzvah of Hakel. So one is individual and one is communal. So I have a mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. What if I just buy one? It's not easy to go away for Pesach. Why don't I just buy a Sefer Torah instead of having to write it? So he says, Kechotev mitzvah min Ashuk. It's like you're grabbing a mitzvah from the marketplace. Interesting parenthetical note, since Pesach is coming up, the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Kuftes, talks about grabbing matzos. You grab the matzah so that the kids won't fall asleep, and some trace the practice of hiding and stealing the afikomen right to that line. But chotev doesn't have to mean to steal, it means you grab. It's like you grabbed the mitzvah, it doesn't mean you stole this mitzvah, you grabbed the mitzvah from the marketplace.
Rashi says that he does do a mitzvah, but he didn't get the extra mitzvah.
Yeah, it would be greater if he actually put the effort into writing the Sefer Torah. That's correct. Ksavo, the statement continues, if you write it, Mala alavakasav kilu kiblo mehar Sinai. We treat it as though he had received the Torah from Har Sinai itself. Because of the effort, perhaps, that goes into it, perhaps because of the learning experience as he's writing it. So Amar Sheshes says, though, im higia afilu os achas, if he edited even a single letter of it, Tosus explains, of a Sefer Torah that he bought from the marketplace, so he corrected it and made it a kosher Sefer Torah, mala alav kiluk savo, that is indeed as though you wrote it. So it's not the experience of writing it, but it's the fact that you made a suitable Sefer Torah, Tosva says, because otherwise you would have had a Sefer Torah lying around that had a mistake in it. Now you have a corrected Sefer Torah. Okay. Now we're done with Rabbi Shua Bar Abba citing Rav Gidol citing Rav, and we get a whole series of rules for how you write a Sefer Torah, specifically in terms of the cloth and the columns. We already talked about the precision of the text. Now we're going to deal with the cloth and the columns that you put on them. Tana Rabbanan. Osa Adam Yuriya Mibas Shalosh Dapin Vad Bas Shmona Dapin. You can make your parchment sheets have up to three columns to eight columns. Pachos Mikan V'yesarakan Lo Yase. Don't have fewer, don't have more. Rashi explains if you take a look at Rashi, Pachon Mikano Yeser Kan Lo Yaseh Shetfarim Shol Chiburei Hayirios Yafin Bakashein Ben Yoser Midai, because the stitches work well, meaning it looks nicer if you don't have too many. Hilkach Lo Yaseh Yirios Kitzaro, so usually you don't make narrow pieces of parchment. Shlo Yu Atfarim Mikurav and Yoser Midai, so that the stitches aren't too close together. V'loruchos Sholar Chikan Yoser Midai, and you don't want the parchment to be too long, because you don't want the stitches to be too far apart. You want the Torah to be aesthetically pleasing, right? Like many mitzvahs, we wear mahadir, we make it beautiful. So that's the idea here as well. Second, the Gemara says, this Brisa says, V'lo yarbe bedapin mibnei shenira igeres, V'lo yamait bedapin mibnei she'enav mishotetos. When you have your parchment in front of you, you should not jam in a lot of narrow columns. In other words, you tell me I can have up to eight columns per cloth, so maybe I have a cloth that's not so wide, but I'll make narrow columns. Don't do that, it'll look like a scroll. Evidently, scrolls' letters would be written that way. On the other hand, don't make really wide columns on your cloth. We all know, we hear it sometimes, the Baal Kriya will make a mistake as he goes back to the beginning of the line. He'll start on the wrong line. You make the eyes wander too much if your columns are too wide. So we don't want wide columns either. We don't want them making a mistake. Ella, rather, kigon l'mishpachoseichem gimel pa'amim. We want it to be like l'mishpachoseichem, that word, three times. That's the width of a proper column, that number number of letters. Tosis goes into a discussion in this as well about fixing a Sefer Torah. Sorry?
30 letters each.
Right. Is it 30? Okay. The so Tosa says that specifically if the text in his the point is it depends on whether you're dealing with a narrower type of a font or whether you're writing very thick letters. That's also going to affect this.
Well, it's a daf, right? Daf, the gemara, exactly the three words.
That's interesting. That's a good point. I didn't notice that. The way they form the omid here, you can see it. Lemishbechosehem is three. Yeah, that's good for this. I mean, for this page. That won't work when we get to the white lines.
Three times, and then it says shalosh
pasim. Right,
like nine times.
Right, the latter two are in. Right, the latter two are in parentheses for that reason, so that it shouldn't look like it. Because you're right. If you read it that way, then you end up with nine.
Right.
Nizdamnalo, another law. Nizdamnalo yuria bas teisha dapin. So what do I do? I'm supposed to have between 3 and 8. I get a piece of cloth. Someone processes the cow, and the cloth they give me is actually 9 columns wide. So I'm going to cut it. So how should I cut it? Lo yachlok shalosh lekan v'sheish lekan. Don't make it a 3 and a 6 because then you have uneven cloth. I'm in the Sefer Torah. It doesn't look as nice. Ela arba lekan v'chamesh lekan. Make 1 4 columns in width and make 1 5 columns in width. When is this true? That you should make sure not to have too many and not to have too few. Specifically at the beginning of the Sefer Torah. I will besof ha-sefer, but at the end of the Sefer Torah, afilu pasuk echad v'afilu daf echad, which sounds like it's saying you could have a column that is simply one pasuk and that's it. So the Gemara says, pasuk echad zalkadaitach. That's what you think. You think you can have your last cloth. You can have one pasuk in the line. One pasuk in the column. Didn't you already know? And this is my proof, by the way, daf is column from this discussion here. But don't you know we had this whole discussion about not finishing in the middle of the amud and all that? Ela ema pasuk echad bidaf echad. You're right. He means one pasuk in one column. That's the whole column, as Rashi says. In rotsa yaseh daf katzar min teva achas b'shita achas. You can make a very narrow column, one word per line. Think like Lahabdul, Asaras Bnei Haman. We have one word going down the Amud. That's the way it'll work. Except that there's a one word also at the end. But you get what I'm saying. That's the way it would look. Shirat Hayam is a Riach Agabe Levena. You have the gaps, but you're across. Yeah, okay. Shir Gilion. Now we get to margin issues. This came up from my father. My father got a Megillah. If you know the Sofer in Yerushalayim, Ezra HaSofer. His name is Ezra Daifani. He used to be in the Cardo, now he's in another part of the, he's in the Moria place. But he does beautiful Megillas in which he does paper cut designs at the top and the bottom. And he went to Rav Eliashiv to ask him a shaila of how close he could be to the text. That's this issue here. How much cloth, how much blank cloth do you need around the text? So he says, Shir Gilion Milamata Tefach. The space, the blank space, has to be a tefach below the text. Milamala gimlets bows, 3 finger breaths above the text, ubein daf ledaf, and between each column, kimlo revach rochav shteyetz bows, 2 finger breaths between each column. Ubechumashin, and when you're dealing with each, we're dealing with the chumash that we talked about before. That's not a kasher sefer Torah. There still is a requirement to how you write it. Milamata shalosh etzbaos, 3 finger breaths below. Milamala shtei etzbaos, 2 finger breaths above. Ubein daf ladaf, and between each column, kamlo rebach rochav gudol, a thumb's breadth between them. Ubein shita l'shita, this is important. I've seen sefer Torah that don't follow this rule. Ubein shita l'shita, kamlo shita, between each line, you require the width of a line. So that's vertical space. Ubein teva lateva, horizontal space between each word, kimlo os kitana. You have to have the minimum of a small letter, which we take to mean a yud. Ubein os laos, and between each letter, kimlo chutasara, a hair's breadth. But there must be blank parchment between each letter.
How does this work out with yesterday?
Yeah. Right, so how do you deal with this and Hekef Gevil? This seems to be the same requirement of Hekef Gevil. When he says that you have to have a hair's breadth, that's Hekef Gevil.
Here it seems to say that it has to be away from the end of the parchment, right?
Right, which is what Hekef Gevil means.
There are
different editions that we've shown him who try to figure out what Hekef Gevil means. That has to be all 4 sides of the letter. But the Pashut read of the Gemara was indeed that all 4 sides are surrounded by parchment. Yeah. Al yamayit adam es haksav. Lo mibnei rebach shamatav, lo mibnei rebach shamalav, lo mibnei rebach shemein shita l'shita, lo mibnei rebach shemein parsha l'parsha. Now that we've said this, I might have said, so if you see you're getting into trouble in writing, so you can shrink, you can write smaller letters. He says, no, you cannot, you don't do that. Don't write smaller letters in order to fit the upper margin, the lower margin, the space between lines, the space between parsha la parsha, which is its own discussion, the stumos and the psuchos. He says, you can't shrink the text, it won't be right. Nizdamna lo teva bas chamesh osio. So what do you do if you reach in the end of the line? You have a five-letter word. Lo yichtav shtayim besel chadaf v'shalosh chutz ladaf. You can't say, well, I'll write three letters outside the column. They put the sofer's initials next to it and say, don't worry. Ela shalosh besel chadaf v'shtayim chutz ladaf. You have to have at least three of the letters inside and only two letters outside. The maximum you can go outside of the column is two letters. And even that, we say, if it's a word that's a two-letter word, you can't put that between the columns. You have to instead write your word at the beginning of the new line. That's the way you have to do it.
Now, when there's a mistake, we allow to correct it outside the word, right? Yes, we learned.
Outside the...
If you have a word, one letter is missing, so how do you fit it in?
So,
above the...
We talk about doing that above the line, yeah. But not above like that, exactly.
If you're missing three, you're allowed to do that too?
As long as you can scratch out what you have... No, we wouldn't do it above the line. You have to scratch out what you have and insert it. Yeah, that's what we require, as I understand it. But now we get to the troubling issue of writing the Hashem's name and handling a correction there. What do you do if Hatoeh B'Shem, and what we mean when we say Hatoeh B'Shem is that not only that he forgot and made a mistake with Hashem's name, but he kept on writing, and now there's a whole bunch of texts there, and he has to work in Hashem's name. So there are three possibilities, fundamentally. Four possibilities. Possibility number one is you scratch out and you write it on the scratch out. And then you put the new text above the line. Possibility number two is you erase, and then if the ink is still fresh, and then you write it on the erasure. Neither of those is going to look very nice. The erasure is going to look worse. Possibility number three is write Hashem's name above the line. Possibility number four is get rid of the klaf and start again. Those are your four options, and that's what we're going to see. We're going to see five options, and you'll see why. But basically, those four are our options. Hatoeh b'shem, goer es mashakasav, scratch out what you did. V'tola es mashagarar, that which you scratched out, you'll put above the line, which sounds like it's more than one letter, matel. That's what it sounds like. Because if it's Hashem, amakom hagerer, diber Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you put Hashem's name on the scratched out spot. In other words, my preference is for Hashem's name not to be above the line. I'll put Hashem's name in line and put the other stuff above, even if it means Hashem's name ends up on the scratched out spot, which doesn't look so great, but that's what I have. Rabbi Yossi Omer.
It says, since Hashem's name, Gimel Teva is right. Not a problem, not denying, because it's Hashem's name. Normally, Gimel Teva is a problem.
What do you mean Gimel Teva? So what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
On the side here, it says, I am Mordechai Behetik.
Yeah. Right. The Mordechai quotes the Rishami, but that's a separate point. No, but he's dealing with a different point. This Mordechai that you're talking about is tied into the Tosfos here on Rabbi Yossi, which we haven't gotten to yet. And it's a separate issue. It's about what do you do specifically with the Pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. What you would do with that. If you take a look, you see the little asterisk in Tosfos Kedemer of Yerushalmi. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Av Talan es Hashem, you can put Hashem's name above the line. That's okay. You see the table I gave you, the different shittos here. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Av Mochek Vekosev. Rabbi Yitzchak says, you can even erase, assuming Rashi says the ink is fresh. Boshak Sivalacha, and write it on the machak. Rashi says, Afapi she'eino hadur kol kach kegorer. That's not as nice as when there's a scratch out. When there's a scratch out, you get basically clean cloth. When you do an erasure, now you have smudges. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yitzchak says, you could do that as well. He's okay with writing it on the scratch out also, but he's also okay with the erasure. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri goes with the approach that Rabbi Yossi gave, but he modifies it. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Omer Kol Hashem Kulo Tolin, Miktsaso Ein Tolin. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri says if you're going to write Hashem's name above the line, it has to be the whole thing. You can't write a couple of letters in, and then the rest of it above. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Meir, a fifth one. Ein Kosvin es Hashem, lo amakom hager, v'lo amakom hamachak. No one, not on the erasure, not on the scratch out. Vein tolet oso, you can't go above the line either. Ketzer oso, so what do I do? Misalik es hiria kula v'gonza. Get rid of the entire cloth and start again. That's what he says to do. So what do we do la halacha? Itamar, we have five different opinions. Rabbi Hanan, Omer, Rav. Halacha tolet es Hashem. He says, we say you put it above the line, like what Rabbi Yossi said. Rabba bar Barchano Omer Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel, halacha mochek v'kosev. He says, I'll tell you that you erase and then you write on the erasure, even like the view that we recorded from Rabbi Yitzchak. V'lema mar halachik kamaru mar halachik kamaru. Why didn't you just say halachik Rabbi Yossi, halachik Rabbi Yitzchak? Mishum de avchiluhu, which Rashi explains. Rashi has a different edition than we do. He says mishum de ika tanoi de avchi. Some tanoim, when they recorded this machlokes, reversed some of the names. So in order to make sure we knew what we were saying, that's why they took the trouble to do it this way. Tosu says, why don't we say this also in other machlokes? And there are other times when this comes up in Shas and we don't go through this question and answer. Tosu is a little odd. Okay. Amar Ravin Bar Chinina, Amar Ula, Amar Vichanina, Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. He says, the law follows Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. We don't know what he's talking about. We don't know if he means our discussion or in general. We just know he made a statement. The law follows Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. And not only that, the law always follows Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. So the Gemara asks, hey, what are you talking about? Where did this come into play? Where was this relevant? If it's about this, and we're going to go through, you should know, the Gemara is going to go through seven different options for Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. We're only going to see five of them today. I emailed Rabbi Vail yesterday to let him know that I was not going to reach the 6th and 7th because they're in the middle of the next page. So we're stopping in the middle of the discussion, but that's the way it goes. If it's about this, meaning our discussion, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer Kol Hashem Kulo Tolin Mitzaso Ein Tolin, that if you're going above the line with Hashem's name, it has to be the whole thing. But I learned regarding that. Amar Chananel Amar Rav Halacha Tolin Es Hashem V'Rav Abachana Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Halacha Mochek V'Kosev. We had our discussion of Psak, and no one mentioned him. V'im Isa, if this was really so, that Rav Bar Chinina says that we're supposed to follow Shimon Shizuri, Hunami Lema, he should have been included in our list of what the Psak Halach is. Ella Aha, so we go to number two, case number two. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer Afilu Ben Chamesh Shanim Bechorish Pesada Shchitas Imo Metaharta. Remember the Ben Pakua discussion? Right? Yeshefta, the mother, she has a full gestation baby inside. Then the young is considered to have had Shchita, and you don't need to shecht it. You can just kill it and eat it. You don't need to do Shchita. So there's a machlokes about whether that's only true if the kid is dead at that point, whether it's true within 30 days, I think there's an opinion. And then there's another view that says, no, you can raise the kid can be 5 years old, and threshing and plowing and doing all the work and everything else, and you kill it at that point, they need it, you don't require shechita. One of the concerns is a Maris Ayin concern. People are going to raise herds and herds and flocks of these, Maris Ayin plus confusion. Now I have my Ben Pakua thing, and what if it's a kid from a Ben Pakua? That's a discussion elsewhere in the Gemara. But the point is, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri says, even when it's 5 years old, you can use it. You can use it in this way. It does not require shechita. So that's where you follow Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. Not necessarily. We already have a statement where someone said the law follows Rabbi Shimon Shizuri there. And if it was so that was where Rav Bar Chinina made his statement, you should have included him. Ella aha. Rather, it's on the following. We said that if someone was being taken out to be killed, to be executed, there's a whole discussion there by Jews, by non-Jews, whatever, but he's taken out to be executed by the government, and he says, write a get for his wife. They write the get on that basis, and they deliver the get, and they don't worry, he may be dead before the get is delivered, and we don't require that he appoint Adem, we do the get. Even though he didn't say tenu, Rashi says is the key. He didn't say tenu. We're gonna do it. Chazru Lomar, they then went and said, Av Hamefaresh, also someone who goes overseas. Vayotze Bashayar, he's going out in a caravan. And he says, write the get for his wife. They write it and they deliver it, even though he didn't say to deliver it. And then Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Omar Av Hamesukan. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri said, that's true also for the person who is dangerously ill. We're not gonna require that he say tenu. We write it and we give it. So That maybe that's what we are referring to. That's our third case. Inami, alternatively, aha, or maybe it was this case, our fourth case. Trumas meiser shel demai shechazra limikoma. This is a classic. There's demai, right? We know you're supposed to tithe it just in case, right? So what happens if they have two cases, really, that they discuss in the Yerushalmi? One case is, it's Shabbos, and all I have is the demai. What do I do now? I can't tithe it. This is all I have to eat. So the Yerushalmi says, you can ask the Am Haaretz from whom you bought it, and trust him through Shabbos. And then after Shabbos, if you still have any left over, then you have to tithe it at that point. And they give two reasons there. Rashi here quotes that and gives one reason, that the reason is because of Oneg Shabbos. But the other reason they give there is great. Emas Shabbos. That the Am Haaretz won't lie to you on Shabbos. He might lie to you during the week, but he won't lie to you on Shabbos. I love that idea. But that's the Rishami there. The other case that they discuss is this case. What if you had demai, you separated off meiser to give to the Levi, and the Levi separated off Truma's meiser to give to the Kohen from it, and then it went fell into the mixture. So now my whole thing is dimua, right? Potentially it's dimua, it's meduma. I don't know. I don't know what this is. So there again, he says, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, af b'chol, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, even if it's during the week, not just Shabbos, shavalov ochlav him, you can ask the Am Haaretz, and you can trust him, and you'll be able to eat it, presumably either because of loss of money, right? Because you're going to lose this entire thing, because now you have to give it away to a Kohen. He's not going to pay you anything for it. Or alternatively, because Truma's Meiser. The Am Haaretz takes Truma seriously, that we know. He also takes Truma's Meiser seriously. So maybe that's why. But the point is, Va'itmar Allah, so again, maybe that's Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, but it doesn't work. Va'itmar Allah, we learned regarding this, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Yonasan, Halachi Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, B'mesukin, B'trumas Meiser Sheldamai, that the law follows Rabbi Shimon Shazuri in these cases. We already said that. Vim Isa, and if it was true that Rav and Bar Chinuna weighed in, Hunami Lema, we should have mentioned him as well. Ella aha. Rather, we'll go with this fifth case. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, Omer Bishum, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Pol HaMitzri Shazirao Lezera. You have the Egyptian bean, okay? The Egyptian bean is kitnios. Not kitnios for Pesach concerns, but for planting concerns. You planted it intending to leave it for seed, not intending to use the plants for eating, but for seeds. And that makes a difference in terms of how we do Truman Meiser. Rashi explains, if you plant it for greens, for vegetables, then you go with the time that you gather it. That's what determines the year it's in for Truman Meiser purposes. However, if you're doing it as kitnios, if you're doing it as a shazara lazera, then you go by when it takes root. So here you should go by when it takes root. Mitzaso hishrish lefnei Rosh Hashanah, mitzaso achar Rosh Hashanah. What if there wasn't enough time for all of it to take root before Rosh Hashanah? Some did before, some did after, and I don't know which is which. Ain't termin mizal zeh. You can't take truma from one on the other. Lefishein termin ma'aser lomen achadash ala yashin v'lomen achashi yashin ala chadash. Right? Each year, ha'yitzah sadesh, shanah shanah, each year's stuff has to be tithed independently. So what are you going to do? Ketzad yaseh, what do? Tzover garner lezocho. This is the old Yesh Bila discussion. You take the granary, you bring everything together, you mix it all up. You can say that we're taking from the new on the new and the old on the old because we're taking a little bit of everything. So maybe that's Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. That's Rabbi Shimon Shazuri that we're talking about. But ha'itmar Allah, we learned regarding that. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Then he said, Rabbi Bar Chinuna said it. Hunami Lema. Then you should have mentioned him as well. So the Gemara is going to come out with two other answers. One will be Rabbi Shimon Shazuri regarding Yeshida. One will be Rabbi Shimon Shazuri talking about Yayin, and that's what you'll see, God willing, on Shabbos.